This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Alex, you have like a mini hairstyle in the front. Like, if you look straight at the camera, it's like parted down the middle. You see that?
My hairstyle has a hairstyle. Yeah. I do, because this whole thing is going this way, and then there's this right shoot middle part in my side part.
Yeah, I know.
It's kind of amazing. Wow, look at that. You're right.
Yeah. It's like a tiny wig.
That's how my day's gone.
Out of paper, out of stock. There's friendly faces around the block. Break loose from the chains that are causing you pain. Call Michael and Stanley, Jim and Dwight Creed, call Andy and Kelly for your business paper needs. Or Dunder Mifflin, the people versus paper people. Dunder Mifflin, the people versus paper people. Dunder Mifflin, the people versus paper people.
Hello and welcome to the Michael Scott Podcast Company, a show for fans of The Office by fans of The Office. I'm your host and The Office mattress, Sean Roney.
And I'm Edmund James, and while I'm dressed as Ronald Reagan, I kiss like Jack Kennedy.
Oh, yes, you do.
And with us, as always, our producer in the warehouse, Mr. Alex Ward.
You're not stupid. Jazz is stupid.
Jazz is stupid!
Every week we get together and talk about our favorite show, NBC's The Office. This week we'll have a couple listener emails for our conference room segment at the end, and some listener provided trivia if we have time. And
I feel like we haven't done trivia in a minute, boys.
I know, yeah. We haven't done trivia in a while, so
it's been great.
Definitely want to get to that.
Nice break.
So I hope you guys have been brushing up on your trivia.
Nope.
Let's get to today's topic, which is Angela and the Senator Robert Lipton.
We wanted to do a relationship episode. We haven't done one of those in a little bit. But it's funny, digging into this as we prep, we kind of found out that this was more of an arc or a story dynamic that really plays out over the last, you know, 2.5 seasons of The Office. So this one, it's a very unique part of the show. I'm excited to unpack it with you guys.
Yeah, Senator Lipton is like a very bizarre character, and going back and watching just his scenes together is a is an odd little journey through the office. At the time when I saw him on the show, he had just come off that show Heroes.
Yeah,
and he's very weird on that show too. He's just kind of an off-put. There's something about him that's just a little. I can't figure out what he is, and that upsets me.
I actually thought that was kind of like watching those scenes together or trying to find them in sequential order to piece out this arc. It's actually very good because he plays a politician. So it's right. Like all surface. You don't really know what he's thinking. Mm-hmm. And I'm really not familiar with him in much of his other work, like Heroes, or he was in soap operas earlier on in his career. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, this is a better way for us to approach it rather than doing an episode on the senator. I mean, Sean, you made a good point. We were prepping that, like, Peacock didn't make a best of collection
No.
for just the senator. You know?
No, and I tried to find like a super cut or something, and all you really get is that scene where Oscar is like really excited to get Robert Lipton's phone number, and then he's like, poor Angela.
You feel like a supercut of the senator scenes would mostly just be him saying hello to people. That's like all he does. We don't even see him and Angela interact very much.
You said it yesterday that it's like a lot of Robert Lipton's appearances are just him leaving the room.
That's funny. Well, that's like,
yeah.
What show? I don't remember if it was Veep or if it was like 30 Rock, but there's some show where there's a politician who's basically just a handsome robot. And they're just like, my God, he's perfect. And he just sits in the conference room and just stares straight ahead and doesn't move until they're like, time for a press conference. And then he could just regurgitate these like answers.
It's a scorcher. Isn't that Parks and Rec?
Yeah,
I know what you're talking about.
I don't remember what show it's from. But
someone will tell us, I'm sure.
Yes, I'm sure. But Robert Lipton is very much in that vein, which is to say this sort of handsome robot that no one really knows or understands, as evidenced by the storyline. I don't think by the end of it, either Oscar or Angela really knew who he was the whole time.
Yeah.
Even though they both think they do.
Well, that's like interesting that you bring that up, because I feel like revisiting this arc, I almost forget sometimes that when you meet Robert Lipton on Woof, on the episode woof.com.
I met Robert Lipton on the Woof app. Him and I were exchanging emergency notes.
The Woof dating app. Which really that episode should be called Hey Place, but they share like a real Angela and Robert.
Hello.
Actually share.
Welcome to Hey Place, a place for hay.
There we go.
That was a near glance page on the drops.
We had somebody tell us once that when they rewatched the trivia episode and they watched the scene where we get our trivia drop, they're like, this, I recognize this more. They're like, they see this more from the podcast. And I feel that way with the Hey Place drops. Whenever I watch woof.com again, I just hear all of the Hey Place.
I always have a very palpable, like, out-of-body experience for just a second where I'm like, not in the show anymore. Yeah, that's happening with...
Those are show bales, not play bales.
Yeah, right.
Draw his penis. Yeah.
Angela is sitting next to Robert and makes the joke like they should call it the Pay Place. And
but that's humorous.
That's humorous.
Don't laugh at me.
I'm not. Angela's great in all her interactions with the senator. Yeah. I feel like she is often cast as the straight man in whatever scene she's in. She's kind of the serious one. And whenever she's in scenes with Robert, she's kind of the funny one. And she does. Angela Martin is great.
Mm-hmm. We also see them with Robert's son that is never alluded to or mentioned ever again. Just the kid with the candy apple.
Yeah.
You just never see or hear from ever again.
Yeah. Was that even his kid? We don't know. Mm-hmm.
Perhaps a nephew.
Was he a purebred, halfbred, purebred? He wasn't in the judging. We don't know.
Or maybe, I mean, based on the way that the senator... it acts, maybe it's just a part of an appearances thing of having a child appear with him at this event.
Rent a child.
Like they hire an actor. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I mean, jumping around a little bit, I mean, that kind of is who Robert is. Cause we get that, I don't have the episode in front of me now, we get that when everyone goes to Robert and Angela's house for Philip's birthday party of adults only. And we see that Robert is using Oscar to appeal to like Latin American voters.
So the episode is vandalism. And we see him use Oscar as well as Angela. I mean, he's using Angela for his political appearance as well for this sort of perfect family. And then Kevin is the one who gives him a hard time about it, which is like one of the better moments for Kevin, where he talks about how like you're using them and these people care about you, you know?
You're a terrible person. Is that what he says?
The sobering Kevin moments of honesty. They're just great throughout the show.
Okay,
he
here
has
it
some
is.
Great yeah, ones yeah. of those along this whole story arc. He has some when it finally comes out that Oscar was was dating the senator, and Kevin knew this whole time. The scene when he releases that to the office, like, I knew this whole time. Oh my God, I did it. I did it. And it goes on, and he sits down, and he's out of breath. He's
like, you didn't freaking know.
I did it.
And I kept Oscar it so is good.
Oscar's legitimately happy. Like, he's like, you did it in the high five. Very heartwarming.
They also have that moment of release where Kevin totally, the last thing that's, it's like a talking head at the end of the episode where he's just like laughing. He says, right, Angela, and the senator and Oscar having an affair. Angela's life is a complete sham.
That's like, there's a lot of this whole relationship that we get a whole basically a whole new Angela than we've seen from the first, you know, four or five seasons. We get a whole new Oscar than we've seen. Like, this storyline, even though it's kind of initially small, it really builds and ends up becoming a huge thing by the end. And what's funny is this whole thing starts quite literally, Dwight is the architect of the place where this all begins. Like, he literally builds the set that allows these two people to meet. And if you trace this back, like, going from when they get married, Dwight and Angela, that is, to like the first time they get together, Dwight is like, has the issues with Sprinkles. Like, that leads to everything with Andy. He sets up this hay place, him and this, her and the senator meet. I mean, all the other guys Angela dates over the course of the show is 100% Dwight's fault.
Right, because, I mean, it's not even just that he set up the hay place. He's also a dick to her in that episode.
Yes.
He's rolling totally self-centered.
Yeah.
I forget how much a roll in the hay costs, but that's what he assumes it is. He's in full money mode.
I wanted to say, like, $5. Yeah,
about... How about a roll in the hay? Roll in the hay, $5.
$5, yeah. You would think that build your own broom would include the materials and not just the instructions.
Yeah, and that, like, that little fork in the road where he doesn't go for the roll in the hay when he could, that is what sets up several seasons of disappointment for him.
I think, too, that this you talked about how this shows different sides of Oscar and Angela and Kevin. And we were talking about how this is kind of a metaphor for the show. An early storyline between the accountants is what temperature they like the thermostat at. And at the end of the show, the storyline between the accountants is two of them are involved in a love triangle. Kevin is trying to keep the secret. It's crazy how much the show changes and the scope of the plot lines and how in depth they get with these characters' lives.
Yeah. Well, and the, speaking of accountant relationships, when they all go to visit Angela after she has the baby, they're like, well, Oscar's like, well, accountants, we got to go. We're our own little family.
Yeah.
And says, yeah, Oscar's the father and I'm Oscar's father and Angela's my mother.
Yeah.
And you're just like, okay. Thank you, Kevin. And then they go, you know, that's another one of the few scenes we hang out with Robert again, is at the hospital.
Michael calls him Papa Bear, Mama Bear, Baby Bear. And Kevin points at Oscar, Mama Bear. But yeah, so they go to the hospital and they realize that that Philip is far too large to have been a premature baby.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Erin goes, now I squat with 5 pounds.
Yeah.
And she kind of struggles. She does the little squat with the baby and is like, yeah, that's more.
Yeah, that episode is jury duty. And I mean, as Dwight comes in and out of this dynamic, that's where he's overlooking. He's going to try to tell Gabe about Jim's malfeasance and instead finds out about Philip and becomes obsessed with proving that Philip is his son.
Malfeasance is such a great word.
Yeah, malfeasance for malfeasance is his sake.
I don't know why that word makes me laugh.
I mean, the baby Philip thing is really interesting because, I mean, there's a red herring, right? We've talked about this before, but like, we think that the baby is not Dwight's because he doesn't pass the DNA test, but we learned I think we've talked about like before how it's not really that clear, but it's probably Cece's diaper or Philip Halpert's diaper.
That it's a Halpert diaper,
right?
Yeah. That also gives us one of the funnier. Every time we go back to prep, especially as I dig into season 9, like there are a lot of jokes that really make me laugh, even though the storytelling is so dense and it's kind of all over the place. With the way that Dwight looks at Angela before he throws up his power drink made of beet runoff all over her.
Oh my god!
Another joke when they do go to the hospital and he realizes it's a shroot. Mm-hmm. And he's like, and he holds the baby and he goes, "You will lead millions. Willingly or as slaves."
Well, and then later he says this, "You said that Robert was not fulfilling you, and I said I bet I could fulfill you, and you said I'd like to see you try, and then I kissed you with the force of a thousand waterfalls."
It really is. There's like, I mean, Rainn Wilson is just heavy lifting in season 9. He's doing a lot and it pays off. But anyway, I digress. Where do we need to go here in this relationship?
Well, I wanted to bring up, Edwin was mentioning the love triangle that the accountants are caught in. Yesterday, Edwin and I were talking about this. I was like, it's like two overlapping love triangles. But I thought about it more, and it's really a love diamond, and I've drawn it up for you guys here. Because you've got Angela and the senator in the middle. And then you got Dwight and Oscar on the sides here. And I'd put Kevin in the middle of this triangle.
Dude,
over here.
That's a parallelogram. That's what you just drew. Mm-hmm.
To quote Michael Scott, look at that picture that you drew.
Yeah.
Motel art.
What, are there two sons? But no, man, it's a good visualization of the way that those love triangles kind of overlap. It's very strange. Picking out the story beats is really difficult because it only comes into the show every now and then. I mean, Robert Lipton makes his first appearance in Woof.com, and then that continues into Angela's marriage and then pregnancy in season 8. And then so much of Oscar and the senator being together, and then that all unraveling happens in season 9. Mm-hmm. And it's not nearly as clean cut as some of the other arcs in the show, because a lot of the other arcs in the show take place over one season or over a handful of episodes or something like that. But Oscar and Angela and the senator spans the middle part or early part of season 7 all the way to the end of the show.
Yeah, it's like a 2.5 season arc with tons of gaps in the middle of it. I mean, I love our podcast because we tackle topics like
Thanks,
this. But, but like it is when you get into a story arc like this where we're like, oh, let's talk about Angela and the senator. It's very difficult. Like, I mean, we went on Dunderpedia. There's not a lot of information about Senator Lipton on there. Yeah, there's no supercuts on YouTube. This is the reason why people haven't delved into it the way we are now.
There's just not a ton of material with the senator specifically, and
yeah,
you know, this is much more an arc about Oscar and Angela than it is about Senator Lipton and Angela. But
true,
I mean, the whole point of the senator is like to basically keep Angela from Dwight until the finale of the show, and whether the writers knew that or not, that ends up being the purpose that he serves. Obviously, there's other people in there. Esther's in there. Andy's in there. But mm-hmm. for the most part, this just sort of allows Dwight to be not totally happy Dwight yet for the last few seasons of the show. And it really works because he does like end up doing a lot of other stuff. A lot of it that's really funny. But yeah, for the most part, this is Oscar and Angela's story.
I mean, I like that. And you know, it also serves the purpose of teaching Angela a lesson, kind of, because, you know, Angela is very caught up in her appearance, right? I think a lot of the reason that Dwight and her relationship is secret is because she wants it to be secret.
Yes. And she is so pleased with herself about the senator. She is so pleased with herself. It's just disgusting.
Right. And just as we accused the senator of being in a relationship for Angela just for the appearance reasons, Angela's kind of doing the same thing. I mean, maybe she's not sleeping with Dwight on the side as much anymore, but
the timelines are fuzzy.
Yeah. You could almost say that she's just as guilty because she, for her, it's more about, you know, having two photographers say, Angela, over here, Angela. Look over right. here.
Well, she brings this up. She says this very specifically.
In near the end, before they have that last press conference, when she gets in the car with the senator, she's like, I just want to go back to the way it was, ribbon cuttings things like that. And I think you raise a really great point, both of you, that like having the senator is he himself doesn't appear on screen very often, but his role or the impact that he has is that he shows us different sides of Oscar and Angela, particularly, and it's the impetus for them to like kind of conclude their arc, for Angela to kind of get through her pride. I think when they first get together, Angela shows this ambition that she never had before, an ambition for prestige, this kind of desire to be like the perfect wife for the politician, have the house. They have that house with sharp corners and is not child friendly, and the kid's birthday party with no other children present. And it also shows a little bit like for Oscar to have a love interest that isn't Gil. And then near the end,
or Matt.
What'd you say? Or Matt. That's correct. Yeah. Or when they get, and then at the end, when they kind of come together, Angela moves into Oscar's apartment, saddle shoes with denim. I will call Child Protective Services. it really leads to, it brings
you
together.
I present to you the rational consumer, as it were.
It allows them, it gives them something to resolve, I guess, between the two of them. And the other thing that I like, so much of our conversations end up going back to Dwight. I feel like Dwight ends up being the most continuously interesting character as we talk. Angela is right up there. I felt the same way watching this again. The scene where at the end of Paper Airplane, where she tells Dwight not to tank the competition, and then there's a voiceover of her talking about how she doesn't need charity while she's running out of the bathroom holding all the rolls of toilet paper, is such a funny scene.
This reviewing this relationship arc made me think of a question for you guys, which is, after the big four main characters being Michael, Pam, Jim, and Dwight, who's the next? Is Angela or Andy? Who's more of a main character in the show, do you think?
Well, I'm gonna say Angela.
Or neither, or is it like Daryl?
I'm gonna put Angela before Andy because just because of that she's been in the show the whole time. Andy's ending in season 9 isn't very satisfying. And for them to give Angela this very clean arc of finally ending up with Dwight in the end, it just feels like she's more important.
It's such a great question. I would probably go with Andy. If we're just talking overall one-to-one comparison, I would probably go Andy just because they give him so many arcs in terms of him and Aaron getting together, the stuff in Florida, the stuff with Robert California, him being manager, like that all stuff. And I agree that like
him and Angela.
That's right. Him and Angela together. It's kind of hard to parse out who is the other main character in that group, but I feel like Andy would be my answer, but I think Angela certainly is right there with him. I think it might be because Angela, so many of her moments are like clandestine or like she's trying to avoid being seen. And that's what happens in the promos episode, is they figure out that like all this stuff has been on film the whole time.
Yeah. I mean, that's another big part of the story when they finally go to confront when they call Senator Lipton and being like, you know, they leave him that voicemail. By the way, an incredible voicemail to get the two of them basically telling the 1-2 punch that you're going to be outed as gay. Also, Oscar, you know, we know Oscar, you've been sleeping with Oscar and Angela, everything comes out in that voicemail, but they leave it in a very happy, cordial voice. And then he turns right around. Then the senator, they watch him on TV giving a press conference, and turns out this whole time he's been in love with his chief of staff, Wesley Silver.
Wesley Silver's gay.
Man, I gotta fit Wesley onto this love
whole time. This dude was playing everybody.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's also Robert's aide Thomas, who they have the pictures with where they're roller skating.
Oh yeah.
but that moment then when Oscar and Angela really bond and they sort of become a team in the back half of the story arc is so heartwarming to me, because these are the two people that you'd think in a vacuum would like each other the least, even though they're both accountants, just based on Angela's personality of generally, I'm guessing, being fairly conservative and definitely doesn't like gay people. We know that. And the fact that by the end of the show that those two are on the same side and in fact raising a child together or taking care of a child together before Dwight comes in is really sweet. And that all has to do with this relationship.
And above all those, her hate, you know, her prejudices about gay people and about Mexican people, they don't, Oscar doesn't like pictures of babies dressed up as adults.
No, not at
all. So that is also a very big difference between them.
It is kitsch. It is the opposite of art.
This is so much more offensive to me than hardcore pornography.
Yeah.
Para ti!
I mean, I think the biggest thing we're going to have to do with the love diamond diagram is you're going to have to make a t-shirt of it for me to wear. Win.
There's a few other things about... There's a few other things of my amazing moments that come out of this relationship are... One is the amazing callback in season 9 when Dwight and Angela go to talk to Toby about how gay men have sex. Angela's like, what is it called when the gay men like intertwine their penises like the medical alert snakes?
Is it called red vining?
And it's just a nice callback too in season 2 when Dwight goes to talk to Toby about like, where is the clitoris? You know, he asks him all these questions. They set those two scenes up exactly the same. It's a lovely book ending. It's so funny. The other thing is, two of the three moments that we see Oscar the most delighted in the entire show happen as a result of this arc. One is this one I have a drop of?
Why does this always happen to me?
And then later at the hospital when he's like, knows that like, oh, the baby was definitely born before they said it was. Also, her husband's for sure gay. He's like, I don't know which thread to follow. Yeah. His third one is at the business trip. But don't call her. Don't call her.
Don't call her. Or he has a lot of real, like, one thing that Oscar doesn't really get to show in The Office is how good of a physical actor he is, or a physical comedic actor he is. Mm. And there are those scenes where Angela like touches him and he overreacts and like pulls out a drawer or something like that. It's all really funny the way that he squirms.
Well, he has the voguing scene with Daryl and Reed, I think. That's another good one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The kiss with Michael. I mean, an all-timer. I don't think there's many actors that wouldn't have broken or been, I don't know, messed that scene up in some way.
Well, I imagine we covered this in our Oscar episode, but that's like one of the things about Oscar is that he never broke. Like, and in the bloopers, if you go back and watch them, they call out when Oscar breaks. A couple, there's one where Andy during the seminar, he's got his hands up in a weird position, and they're like, Oscar broke. And the other one is in season 9. Yeah. In season 9, when they're doing the cold open with Phyllis listening to 50 Shades of Grey.
Oh, yeah.
Like, Oscar can't even say it. And they're like, did you break?
Yeah. he seems like a pro. Mm-hmm. But here we are talking about Oscar with this,
I know,
this
yeah,
whole
yeah,
relationship.
Yeah.
But like, it the whole thing is this relationship is a sham. It's not real. You know, they're both in it for the looks, the appearance. And that ultimately, well, it doesn't really bite Senator Lipton in the ass because he wins for his own sake.
He owns it in the end, yeah.
He owns it, yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, hey, great for a politician to come out open like that on a press conference, but, you know, kind of tramples on Angela and Oscar's hearts while he does it.
Question for the senator's beard.
The way Oscar first reacts to him in Classy Christmas when he's like, Robert seems great, very handsome, firm handshake, he's gay, good sense of humor.
Don't we get Ryan Howard is like, want to know how I know Robert Lipton's gay? He liked my Instagram photos at like 3 a.m.
Facebook photos at 3 a.m.
Yeah.
This is before Instagram, Sean.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He liked all my TikToks. Wow. Yeah.
he watches all my TikToks on loop.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't know. I feel like we've... The funny thing about covering this arc in particular is that it intersects so much with other character dynamics, like a Dwight and Angela topic, or Oscar and Angela, or you know, the senator and Wesley Silver, or any other number of dynamics we could talk about, or relationships we could talk about. But it is interesting to chop it up this particular way and look at that together.
I mean, after revisiting it, how do you feel about this arc? Do you want more of it? Do you think it was just right? Did it not really do its job in the end? Or
for me, I feel like it was just right in a way, because Senator Lipton is basically an empty suit. Like, he's not really that interesting, but he does serve to help break Angela and, well, Oscar and Angela out of their shells a bit by the end of the show. And he's just kind of, and then he comes and he does this and he disappears. Mm-hmm. And he doesn't really have, like, I think they could have overplayed him. I think he's in it the right amount.
Yeah, when going through the show to just watch for this dynamic, I did enjoy watching it as a whole. There are a ton of funny moments. It leads to the sandwich delivery for Oscar Martinez. Oh, like, yes. It leads to a lot of funny moments, and it does set up resolution and growth and development for those characters. I think where you would maybe, if you could update it or revisit it, it would be great to see the beats of that arc play out in a more even way. It's a couple things in season 7, a few things in season 8, especially near the end. One of the funniest moments with the senator is when he's at the end of Free Family Portrait Studio, when he walks downstairs and he talks to Oscar and he covers the baby's like eyes and ears. Call, call. And then in season 9, so much happens. Like, it's so dense with plot that entire season because they have to resolve so many things. Yeah. I wish they could have spaced that a little bit better. That's the only thing.
Yeah.
Most definitely. Yeah.
I'm also a little disappointed we never got a Senator Lipton, Robert California scene. That would have been nice.
We kind of did in the fundraiser.
Yes, sort of. But I'm like a one-on-one, like something where they just sort of discuss something secret, and like a wink-wink conversation would have been funny. Like,
I
didn't
see
them,
like,
the last Saturnalia or something.
Yeah, like, yeah.
Right? Oh, I get it. Yeah.
They, like, you know, recognize each other from some Eyes Wide Shut party.
Yeah, exactly.
We've talked about how there are a lot of Kathys and Catherines on the shows, on the show, but there are also a lot of Roberts. Robert Dunder, Robert Mifflin,
Bob
Robert
Vance.
California, Bob Vance, Robert Lipton, yeah.
It's true, man.
Yeah.
Wow. Bob and Kathy.
I know that was quick, but any other thoughts about Angela and the senator?
It's fun to unpack something like this that happens so much closer to the end of the show, because we do get, like, clear resolution from it, you know, and it contributes to how much of the show has to wrap up in season 9. And I find that watching season 9, it's so interesting because there's so many funny moments, even though the tone of the show, it feels a lot broader, you know, but I find myself laughing at unexpected things every time or in a surprising way. Also, Peacock, it's totally different watching it on Peacock now with the way that they've recut the show. And there are things, like, new things in it all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But to be able to pull this out of the rest of season 9, it was fun to watch it in that regard.
Yeah, I said this to Edwin before we started recording, but, like, we're going through season 9 more. It actually is, like, the joke writing is really, really good. It's just that the story arcs are so bad that people dismiss the whole season. But the moments in there are really good. Like, I'm finding a lot of really good drops from season 9 that you don't even really recognize because you don't really watch season 9 that much.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, here's one.
What the hell, Jim? I'm coming for your bony butt.
Bony butt. And then a pair of gems here for Meredith. Hang on here.
Hey, remember that week in the 90s when we got bagels?
I miss Clinton.
I miss Clinton. It's great. Yeah. Yeah, I have that one too. I don't know where I went. And then this is just a nice moment.
Meredith Palmer, who called Eastern Pennsylvania Seminary a, quote, sausage factory.
I hadn't picked up that it was Eastern Pennsylvania.
Yeah,
seminary.
Yeah.
Which is where Toby must have gone.
There's one where they're watching the promos in season 9, and Meredith is like, I show them what I want to show them. Who wants a taste?
poop sauce.
Oh, she's the best.
Yeah.
But I mean, no, that's a great point. I mean, especially for season 9, I think this is such a solid arc. I mean, they wrap this up so much better than they do Andy's whatever is going on with Andy in season 9. I mean, I thought that this is it's very clever. I like that it is the Senator arc, but he's not even that much a part of it. It's all about the other characters reacting to the things that he does and the way he treats them. Yeah, I thought this was a really fun one to revisit, and I
fun
really
one.
Liked this
part. Season 4, episode
9. And then the other thing is, after that press conference, we just never see him again.
Mm-hmm. He's gone.
In the next episode, Paper Airplane, Angela says, things are leaner now that I've separated with the Senator. And then it's just her and Philip. We don't see him again. We don't have to worry about him anymore as a viewer.
Yeah, I guess he's, well, you know, he's not Philip's real dad. He doesn't,
that's true,
doesn't
yeah.
have to be a father to him.
Hmm.
Well, you guys, what do you think? Let's move on to the conference room, shall we?
Let's do it to it.
Conference room. 10 seconds. All of you.
All right. I feel like we got a pretty loaded conference
Yeehaw!
Room.
Woohoo! Howdy, partners. It's me. Gun Safety Dwight.
You didn't know that was the conference room.
I did not.
I can't do this.
Okay, first of all, shout out to Peacock for finally doing a skip intro button.
Yes.
Right? You guys see that?
Yes.
All right. All right, so I've got a couple emails here that clear up some mysteries that we have discussed before. All right.
Mysteries.
So this email comes from Patrick. A quick observation about Michael's finances. Having a vasectomy reversed is an elective surgery that is generally not covered by insurance in the U.S. and may cost around $15,000 out of pocket.
Three-year salary.
This means that Michael's two vasectomy reversals would have cost him around $30,000, and this may explain where a good portion of his money went.
Snip, snap, snip, snap to his bank account. Am I right?
So, you know, I think Jan also deserves part of the blame for that as well, because we were trying to figure out, is it really Michael spending all his money on magic kits and Muppet DVDs, or is it Jan?
It's both, yeah.
I think it's both.
I would say, with Michael, like, how much do you think Michael had in a savings account this whole time? Because I would say $1,000. I think Michael looks at $1,000 and goes, oh, I'm good. And he spends the rest of his money.
Yeah. Oh, so. I can go shopping.
Well, next summer, I'll be 6.
Yeah. He's buying Burlington coats. He likes spending money.
You are literally a king.
Oh, my gosh. So thank you so much, Patrick. Reese and Scott's Tot. Thanks, man.
Hey, welcome to the basket. It's where the tots are.
Wyndham Hotels and Resorts makes travel possible for all. Whether it's the long haulers looking for a great cup of coffee, a roomier rest for the on-a-whim road trippers, or a place to make summer memories with the whole family. No matter who you are, where you're going, or why, with 24 trusted brands to choose from like La Quinta, Days Inn, and Super 8, your Wyndham is waiting. Get the lowest price at WyndhamHotels.com. Restrictions apply. Visit website for more details.
Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
This email from Desiree. Hey guys, I know there's been a bit of confusion about Meredith's kids, and I thought I could shed some light on that. It's been mentioned on the show that Meredith has two kids, but we only ever see her son, leading people to wonder if this was a continuity.
Jakey!
However, the answer is actually in Webisodes, The Accountants. When asked if she stole the missing $3,000, Meredith responds that she is a single mom and would never do anything to jeopardize her kid. Oscar says that he thought she had two kids, and Meredith answers, my ex-husband took Wendy, yeah. The good one.
The good one. I remember that. Yeah.
Busted. Walk of shame.
Perfect. You got to come in. I have Vienna sausages and napkins.
This reminds me of Katrina.
Yeah. Is this an employee of ours?
This is that's a great question.
So thank you so much, Desiree, for finally clearing that up for us.
Yeah, that actually is great. Thank you.
Makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
Edward, you had something for the conference room too.
Yes, I believe this came from Sam on Instagram, who sent us this: David Wallace's polished mansion from The Office spurs a $6 million bidding war.
$6 million.
Yeah. So this is an article from Dwell. Do you remember when Creed picks up that magazine? Oh, huh, yeah. Dwell.
Yeah.
basically, just it talks about this the large house that they used for the scene for David Wallace's at least out front for sure. Mm-hmm. In branch closing, and
same house and cocktails. Is it the same house?
You know, I'm scrolling through the pictures right now, and it looks like it could have been. Mm-hmm. A handful of the like the outdoor backyard and mm-hmm. like the main room and the staircase. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
What is this, oak?
Yeah. It's probably not, but for sure the outside. But yeah, it just got me thinking like
$6 million.
Yeah. What other office like locations would you go to? And it made me think of this too. Cause, the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air house, I guess, is available on Airbnb.
Oh,
so if you could Airbnb like a Dunder Mifflin location,
that's a good question.
Where would you go?
Ooh.
I mean, the Shroot Farms is the first answer.
That's a regular B&B.
Yeah, you're right. Sorry. My apologies. That's not available.
That's a B&B. Bears, Beats, Battlestar Galactica.
Wow. All right. Good job.
Well, I mean, right off the top of my head, I'd love to spend the night in The Office, but of course, it's probably folded up in storage somewhere.
I'm imagining you waking up on the couch like Dwight in the space blanket. Or Dwight watching Michael edit in his office.
For some reason, the idea of that makes me think of Tobias Funke using the bathroom on the set in Arrested Development. Oh, <yeah. laughs> My mind just immediately connected to that. Shoot, man, I don't know. I'd love to go on the booze cruise. That would be fun.
Mm-hmm. It'd be fun.
Like Lake Wallenpaupack. Wallenpaupack.
Jump overboard.
Lady of the Mist is the Niagara boat. Just to jump overboard. That'd be a good one. I wouldn't mind camping where they do beach games for the night.
Sure.
Roasting up some wieners, having a hot dog eating contest. Mallard. That comes to mind. I mean, I'd mess with a hay place, no problem. But that's also a temporary spot.
It's funny that outside of David Wallace's house, we don't get a ton of other like house locations. I would like
Jim's house, Gabe's house, but yeah. I don't want to. Those are just
Gabe's
places.
Apartment.
Yeah. Jim and Pam's house. Not interested.
Yeah.
Creed's quarry. We never see it, but I'll go mm-hmm. there.
Oh, yeah.
I'd have the world. What is it? The world's. When Michael and Holly both go there to the Chinese restaurant.
Oh, the world's largest egg roll?
World's largest egg roll. I'd love to eat at that Chinese restaurant.
Sandals, Jamaica. The world's largest freshwater pool.
Oh, yeah. I do want to go eat at Cooper's someday in Scranton.
Oh, that's a good call. But we're talking an Airbnb for the night.
I want to spend the night in a Cooper's.
How about the hotel where Michael and D'Angelo meet but don't meet?
Oh, at that bar?
Meeting at that hotel bar. Yeah,
that'd be fun. That'd be pretty fun. Yeah.
But anyway.
Food for thought. $6 million, huh?
Do you think it's an Office fan? That's what I want to know.
I don't know.
No. They would.
That would
more.
Be a pretty crazy super fan move to buy David Wallace's house.
Yeah, there's like a cross section of wealth and Office fandom that I don't know if those are ever going to meet at that level.
An Office fan would never be that rich.
No, you spent too much time. You spent too much time watching The Office.
They spend too much money on magic kits and Muppet DVDs. All right, all right, you guys. Now I think it's time for some trivia.
Let's just do our thing, collect our hardware, and get the hell home.
All right, this week's trivia comes from Mac. Mac says, I love Edwin's optimism, Sean's pessimism, and Alex's drops, but Sean, I agree about Nana, or whatever Pam's grandmother's name is. That lady sucks, and if she were a part of my family, she probably wouldn't have even been invited. I just read that because it supports something that I said before on the show. So thank you, Mac.
And if it's a boy, Silvio.
Is this trivia just you get Aaron grievances?
Yeah. No, don't worry. Mac really did send us some trivia, so nice. Let's go for it.
Okay.
All right. What are the two reasons Dwight wishes he could menstruate?
He wouldn't have to mess around with calendars.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Be more into
idiotic calendars.
The moon calendars. And the tides.
And yes. Be more in tune with the moon and tides.
Yes, that's right. Why does Andy say Angela will always be safe with him?
He's a very good screamer.
Yeah. Correct.
Would a small penis work, small to medium?
What does Michael first say when Daryl starts singing the blues? No, 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 no.
It's a really pretty song.
It's a really pretty song. We're like, it's beautiful.
That's right.
Yeah.
Angela says, Hillary Swank.
No, you're supposed to. Na, na,
na, na. Na, 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 na. Angela says, Hillary Swank is the female who?
Boris Becker.
Correct. All right. What specifically does Michael say to Aaron about Kelly in Gossip?
What does Michael say to Aaron
about that's... Aaron or to Aaron?
What is the what is the rumor that Michael is spreading about Kelly? He says it to Aaron.
I don't remember.
That she
it's like not real.
Is something it something about real? Like giving a child away or something?
It's eating disorder related.
That she has an eating disorder.
Yeah.
She's an anorexatic.
Okay.
He could have said anoreg salad.
Anorexatic.
I'm so happy you're eating again. Me too.
What does Ryan say when Jim and Pam announce that they are going to have a baby?
Don't shake it. Don't
that
shake
is
the baby.
That is advice that he gives to them when Ravi's in the office.
Okay. Oh, yeah, that's right.
It's something about there's too many people in the world.
Don't get it circumcised.
You guys are really close.
What is it, then?
Don't vaccinate it.
Oh, don't vaccinate it.
During the conference room meeting in The Lover, this is the last question.
Okay.
During the conference room meeting in The Lover, as Pam chants, no more meetings, who is the character in the background who silently cheers along with her?
Oh, Stanley.
Stanley. That's
Stanley
one of the best
Stanley. Manly. That is correct. And Mac adds that is one of his, one of their favorite parts of the whole show. Well, thank you so much, Mac.
Texas Justice.
Beet Sugar 5 Cream. 23x5.
But it's my thing now. What the hell, Jim? I cover for your bony butt.
There you have it.
Go ahead.
There you have it. Thank you so much, Mac, for sending that in. You can send us trivia.
Day now.
Do you have any more?
No, I'm done.
Does he have any more?
I'm done. Okay. I'm done.
All right. You can send us trivia by emailing us.
You always assume I have diabetes.
See, just the noise you made when you stood up.
I'm taking my hands up. All right, I'm done.
You could email us, mspodcastcompany@gmail.com. You can call us and leave us a message, 503-694-9314. We love to play the messages on the show. Facebook and Instagram, Michael Scott Podcast Company. We have a website, michaelscottpod.com. And we are on Patreon, patreon.com/Michael Scott. You can become a Scott's Tot for $5 a month. You get a bonus episode every month. You help support the show. And together we make a donation to the Thurgood Marshall College Fund. bringing Michael's dream to life to help kids get to college. So thank you so much to our Scots Tots. You guys are awesome. We love you. Special thanks to Ryan Lloyd, who does our social media and designs our artwork. And this episode was recorded in Portland, Oregon. Of a video chat.
Thank you for listening. It means a lot to us. It's always amazing to interact with everyone and to have people send us stuff that we can read on the show, talk about on the show. It makes doing the show so much more fun and so much more enjoyable, and we truly appreciate it. So, yeah, thank you again. Take care. Stay safe. We'll see you next week.
Pippity poppy, give me the zombie.
Yes, sir.